God has made everything beautiful in its time and has set eternity in the human heart. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
A pastor named Harry Fobsick once said, "I would rather live in a world where my life is surrounded by mystery than live in a world so small that my mind can comprehend it." And on mystery, Albert Einstein also said, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and all science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." Mystery defined is anything that remains unexplained or unknown. There are elements of mystery just all around us. In fact, mystery is woven into the very fabric of everything we see, of everything we know, of everything we think we understand. Our reality is one that is just saturated with mystery. The earth is and contains mystery. How and why it contains and sustains life. The stars are a mystery. The universe is a mystery. We are a mystery. I mean, our cells, our DNA, our ability to think, how we experience emotions, that we can procreate, that we can love. Mystery is woven into the fabric of everything that we can see. And since mystery is a part of our reality, the question we're left with is not how do we escape mystery, but rather how do we engage with mystery? So now, I don't know about y'all youngins, but I am a child of the 80s. Any child of the 80s out there? That's right. We got a couple. Everyone else was like, "You guys are weird." We are retro now. I don't know what that means. And one of the most terrifying shows in the 80s when I was growing up was something called Unsolved Mysteries. So I don't know if you've seen Unsolved Mysteries, but for some reason, my family would all get on a couch together late at night, and we would watch the show, Unsolved Mysteries, right before bed. As if it was like my parents trying to intentionally give me nightmares. You see, like the show would investigate mysteries that were unsolved, mysteries that were just left unexplained. We would watch just like these reenactments of alien abductions, of ghosts, of monster sightings, and of like other different unexplained paranoia phenomena, I don't know, all that stuff. And each episode would end with "mystery is unexplained." And then my parents would be like, "All right, Michael, go to bed." Some kids would read nursery stories before they go to bed. I watched stories about monsters hiding under my bed. And I'm actually kind of convinced that this was sponsored by Future Counselors of America, because they're going to make bank off of that. But although this show was terrifying for a little kid, I remember going to my bed and lying awake at night and contemplating less about the unsolved mysteries of aliens and monsters and everything else in that show, and more about the mysteries of creation, of life, of God. I remember lying awake at night and wondering how I came to be, how this earth came to be. In fact, when I was growing up, one of, if not the most just like confusing thoughts around an unsolved mystery that for the life of me, I couldn't understand was, who is God and what is his plan for us? And this is real talk. I would lie awake and often panic would overwhelm me. Fear would overwhelm me because of this great mystery that I could not solve, that I couldn't understand. Because the answer to this great mystery directly affected my life, and it held the answer to the question of my eternity. And for me, those stakes were just far too high to trust with mystery. So when I was young, I set myself on a course to try to solve that mystery of who is God and what is his plan for us. On God, 3rd century theologian Novotny wrote, "At the contemplation and utterance of his majesty, all eloquence is rightly dumb. All mental effort is feeble. For God is greater than mind itself. His greatness cannot be conceived. Nay, could we conceive of his greatness, he would be less than the human mind which could form the conception. He is greater than all language, and no statement can express him. Indeed, if any statement could express him, he would be less than human speech, which could by such statement comprehend and gather up all that he is." The title God means greater than anything, outside of everything, time, space, matter, and to which everything came. Therefore, God is infinite. God is measureless. God has no boundaries and is outside of any boundary that we would create for him or even think to create for him. But who is God? And what is his plan for us? When Moses asked God who he was at the burning bush in Exodus, God said, "I am that I am," which is also commonly translated as, "I will be what I will be," or, "I shall be what I shall be." See, "I am that I am" is a name that is independent and unconditioned from anything and everything. It's a name that implies existence outside of and sovereignty over all existence. But the declaration of this name still leaves us with the mystery because our minds cannot comprehend the fullness of God. So, after the "I am" gave his name to Moses, people viewed him as greater, as sovereign, and mysterious. They were filled with wonder at God. So Neil Armstrong, as many of us know, he was the first human being in existence to step foot on the moon. And he was the first to look at this pale blue dot of a planet from a different rock and take in all of the mystery that it holds. And on this topic, Neil Armstrong said, "Mystery creates wonder. And wonder is the basis of man's desire to understand." And when we consider who God is, we cannot help but be filled with wonder. You see, the Old Testament is just packed with verses about the God of wonders, or God working wonders. And as humanity struggled to figure out who God is and what his plan was for them, they couldn't escape wonder. Because it's that wondering deep down inside us that compels us to want to comprehend and know God. Ray Bradbury, he wrote, "Stuff your eyes with wonder. Stuff your eyes with wonder. Live as if you'd drop dead in 10 seconds. See the world. It's more fantastic than any dream made." Have you ever seen a beautiful sunset and just wondered at its beauty? And has that wonder ever nudged you to question if there's something bigger and even more beautiful out there that's responsible for that sunset, that could have intentionally painted that sunset like an artist for you? Have you ever just stared up at the night sky and looked at the stars just brightly painted above you? And when you did that, were you just gripped with wonder? Did you wonder how many stars there are? How many planets there are? how many galaxies there are? Did you wonder at the mystery of the who behind it all? The Bible says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. See, I love the stars, and I have looked at the stars just many times. I've stuffed my eyes with the wonder, and I've contemplated about the mysteries of God. And on one hand of mystery, you get wonder. Now, wonder is great. Wonder is inspiring. Wonder has the ability to engage our minds and hearts and can lead us to ultimately following and knowing the God that is above all and that created all. But on the other hand of mystery is fear. And fear often leads to skepticism and an inability to believe unless absolutely proven. I mean, it's no wonder that the phrase fear not is recited over and over and over and over again in the Bible. It's in fact one of the most recited phrases recorded in the Bible. And the thing about mystery is that there is an element of question. There's an element of uncertainty. An element that whispers the need for faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And a few verses later, Hebrews says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek them. While on one hand, mystery can lead to wonder, which can lead to faith. On the other hand, mystery can lead to fear, which can lead to disbelief, because we often fear what we can't understand and what we can't control. So we're left with this question, how do we engage with mystery? Do we just run from it? Or do we face it? Do we ignore it? Or can we be inspired by it? Can we ignite our senses of wonder by it? And could we invite it to fuel our pursuit of God, of knowing who God is and what his plan for us is? You see, mystery is not a stranger and was not a stranger to those in the time of the Bible. When the Bible was written, people knew of the I Am. They knew about God. They even had a playbook on how to follow him better, but in many ways, he was still distant. To many, the I Am was kind of this, like, rather just like impersonal mystery. But he wouldn't remain impersonal for long, because all the I Am, all God wants to do is be known. So God made a plan to reveal the mystery of himself to the world. The Apostle Paul wrote, I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So this is what God did. This is what he did. He initiated this mysterious plan. Jesus, the I Am in flesh, entered the world. And he lived so that the world could know him, so that the world can know God, and that the world can know God's plan for them. You see, God wanted the world to be with him, to be reconciled to him. And the only way that this could happen was for God himself, the I Am, to pay the price for the world's sin. This was the climax of God's plan. So the one who is mystery, the one who created the heavens, the one who created the earth, the one who brings out the starry host one, by his hands, gave up those same hands to be nailed to a cross. And the Bible says Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you to God. Wonder did the most wonderful thing. He died for us so that we can be with God. And because of that, the Bible also says God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. So who is God? He is the I Am. He's Jesus. And what is his plan for us? To bring everything together under his authority, everything in heaven and on earth, to live in his kingdom. And the Bible says that while we get to experience glimpses of his kingdom here today, we wait for it to be fully revealed when Christ returns. A poet once said, "It began in mystery and it'll end in mystery, but what a savage and beautiful country lies in between." Now, as we're getting ready to close, I wanna talk about three ways that we can engage with mystery surrounding Christ in this in between. The first is to wonder. When's the last time you just wondered? An author by the name of J.J. Vanderloos once said, "The real mystery of life is not a problem to be solved. It is a reality to be experienced." So, in a way, when I moved to Silicon Valley, I kind of lost my wonder with God. I mean, I moved from just going on long walks on the beaches in Southern California and just looking. I don't know if you've done this before, but just like stopped and walked and looked at just the beach and the powerful, just crashing waves that would crash on the sand. And I would look at the power and the beauty of those waves crashing with just wonder. And I knew that God created the waves. And knowing that I got a little glimpse of his power and his beauty when I looked at the waves. But I moved from experiencing his wonder firsthand in the waves to just studying about his wonder. Now, studying is good. Studying God is really good. In fact, I paid a lot of money at seminary to study God, and the paying off part isn't good, but studying is good. But I thought to myself when I realized that, I've kind of lost my wonder, what good is knowing about God if I don't know God? If I can't experience God? We need both. The psalm says, "In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." So I reopened the door to wonder, to seeing the waves that he made, to hiking in the mountains that he built, breathing in the wind, the air that he breathed out, to experience him by experiencing his wonder. The second is to embrace mystery. Embrace mystery. Although through Christ, God has revealed his mystery and his purpose for us, there's still a lot of mystery around God. I don't know about you, but I find that there's a lot of areas of mystery that I still don't understand. And something that can be challenging, especially in a culture that elevates just rationality and proof, is the conversation around the mysteries of faith. You know what I'm talking about? Like talking to someone who is like, "What do you believe in a virgin birth? What? That's weird." The conversations around the mysteries of faith. And when we find ourselves in these conversations around the mystery of faith, more often than not, we'll go to the playbook. You know, we'll go to the playbook for answers. We'll pick up the Bible with the hopes that it'll give us every single answer to every single mystery and solve it all. Now, the Bible, it does contain a lot about God, but since mystery is woven into the nature of God, there are going to be questions that the Bible just won't answer. In fact, the Bible is a collection of books around the human experience with God. If it is a collection of books around the human experience of God, then it's going to be less about answering questions and more about listing experiences. I mean, sure, there's going to be a lot of answers in the Bible on the way,
But the primary goal is to record the relationship of God with humanity. And when I was at Fuller Seminary studying theology, I was really shocked the first time I heard one of my professors say, "I don't know." And I was really shocked because this professor was and is one of the leading Bible scholars in the entire world. And there was a question that someone asked about God in the Bible. And it's like, of course, this guy's going to know the answer because he's the guy that would know the answer. So what did it mean that he didn't? I was shocked. And although I forgot what the question was, I'll never forget his answer. That there are just going to be some things that we don't know about God because God surpasses all knowledge. And while this could be frustrating because it seems like there's just this lack of proof that we're looking for, it proves that if God is really God, then we won't fully be able to understand him. Because the moment you can fully understand God is the moment that God is not God. The third way that we can engage with mystery surrounding Christ is to act as a citizen. So the gospel records a lot of teachings from Jesus. And if you were to just look at all of the topics that Jesus talked about, the kingdom of God would perhaps be the topic that Jesus talked about the most, which is really important. If you want to see what was the heart of Jesus, listen to and look at and read out what he talked about the most, it was the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus was constantly giving instruction and encouragement regarding the dynamics of his kingdom that his followers or his citizens should live by. But if we're not careful, we can find ourselves becoming experts on how a citizen should live without acting like one. James says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." There's knowing, and then there's acting. And the word citizen, as in a citizen of God's kingdom, is just another word for follower or disciple. Disciples in Jesus' day followed their teacher. They listened to their teacher. They ate with their teacher. They were constantly around their teacher so that how their teacher lived could become how they lived, so that how their teacher taught could become how they taught, so that their teacher's words would become their words. And although the Bible may not have all the answers that we could be looking for, it does talk a lot about what citizenship should look like, what discipleship should look like. And what grace and love looks like. Well, we just get it wrong. Because the reality is that we will get it wrong. But the most mysterious thing about Jesus, the most wondrous thing about him, is his love for us. His reckless love that was demonstrated on the cross, where the I am bled for us, for you. Where the I am died for us, for you. And then love, being love, did the most mysterious and wondrous thing that has ever been done. He defeated death and he rose from the grave because death could not hold him down and he didn't want it to hold you down either. So who is God? He's the I am. He's Jesus. He is love. And what is his plan for us? To redeem us, to live with us, and for eternity to reveal the mysteries of his wondrous love for us. Let's pray. Jesus, We are surrounded by mystery. We are surrounded by questions we don't have answered. We are surrounded at times with wonder and at times with fear. Jesus, but we are also surrounded with your Spirit. We are surrounded by your truth. We are surrounded by your love. God, I pray that whatever we came in here with today, and I feel like there's just some hurt in this room today, some burdens in this room today, some fears in this room, and hurts and doubts and struggles. God, I pray that during this next time of worship that we recognize that you are present with us, because your word says you are, and that we can experience your reckless love right where we're at. Be with us, and we praise you in your name.